Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Badrena. Badrena took sannyas in 1982 and is a craniosacral therapist. In 1986, Badrena founded the International Institute for Craniosacral Balancing and offers trainings and courses all over the world. I'm so happy to have Badrena on the show and I hope you enjoyed. Badrena, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me, Swaram. It's really nice to talk to you today.
Pleasure is all mine. Okay, so to start, tell us a little bit about how you have come across Osho.
Well, I was during a time when I was living in Switzerland and one of these transition times where everything that has been is not right anymore and feels like it needs to change. And yet we don't know what the change will be. So I took a year off from my teaching job and went into the mountains, into a community where I was actually taught and, to work with agriculture, to work with animals and milking goats and all that. And in one of the huts that I was living, I came across Osho's books that somebody, a sannyasin that lived there before, left behind. And there was no TV, there was no electricity, there was no running water, there was nothing but reading books at night with candlelight. And I felt so inspired that I wanted to go and visit India as a next step and, you know, like, guidance works in different ways. I didn't go to India, but was offered a job in Esalen Institute in California, in a beautiful place over the Pacific Ocean. And I thought, well, I'll go there. You know, change needs to come, and I don't know what that change will be, so I'll just move with that invitation, only to meet more sannyasins in Esalen, Big Sur, and only for Osho to actually move to the States. And there I was. I was already in the States when Osho came to the States and ready to then move to Rajneeshpuram. So it felt, at the time, it felt like life took me on a detour. But looking back, it was set up in California at the right time and in the right environment.
I'm pretty sure that you've seen Wild Wild Country. So after the release of Wild Wild Country, there has been a lot of talks about those days. So I'd love to hear, how was your experience living in Rajneeshpuram in light of the events as they are told in Wild Wild Country?
When you ask me, as a person that was 29 years old, enthusiastic about living in the wild, wild country. Yes, it really was wild. It was desert, and we did everything to make that desert bloom. And we were building a farm. We were growing our own food. We were building our own houses. For me, that was in the foreground, that we are building something together. Now, we, as a tribe of people that gathered around Osho, we do something together here, and we are building our life in this dry and unused land. It didn't even cross my mind at the time that somebody else could get upset that we would be in that, on that ranch where nobody else was living, nobody else had any interest of doing anything with the land. So at the time, that political aspect was not in the foreground at all. I was happy doing what I was doing. I was, you know, first doing a lot of the planting and a lot of the horticulture. And then I got trained as an electrician and worked as an electrician with the contractors from outside, and had really a great time being actively involved in building our home.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you are a craniosacral therapist by profession. Before we talk more in details about your work, I'd love to hear if Osho ever spoke about craniosacral therapy.
Osho talked a lot about working with the body. He talked a lot about starting with the body and using the body as a tool to open up the wholeness of our body, mind, spirit. I did not have interviews with Osho about the work. I brought craniosacral therapy to what's now called Pune 2, you know, as the Pune, the second opening up of Pune started to take place. That was like 86, 87. You know, I went there, and that's the first time actually I put in my work as a therapist. I was a psychotherapist before I went to the ranch. I was a body worker before I went to the ranch. And on the ranch itself, because I was not part of the therapist crew in Pune 1, on the ranch itself, I never even thought about being active as a therapist. For me, it was like, no, I'm here to build a city. I'm here to be out, out and about in nature. That's where my work is during the ranch. In Pune, then, it was very clear that when I visited the first time Pune, I think it was in the winter 86, 87, and started to offer sessions, it was very clear that this work that I was trained in, and it was very much looked at as a physiologically oriented work. In Pune, working with my friends, with my colleagues, with the clients then, it became very clear that I have something in my hands or something in my skills that touched more than the physical aspect of the person. And that's the beauty of that unfoldment of the work, that in Pune, actually, the work took on a much, much bigger aspect of, how should I say that? I became aware that craniosacral therapy is much more than was taught to me by the doctors that at that time were teaching that work. So a whole new world opened up just because I worked with meditators. I could give sessions to people that knew how to feel themselves, how to look into themselves. And in that way, Osho really added to the unfoldment of the work, because it happened in his community, in his under his guard, so to speak. Everybody that came to sessions brought something to me that I learned more about the potential of the work that I would not have discovered working in Boston or in Cambridge, where I was at the time, working with people that just came out of rehab and needed support to get their body back together. The therapy unfolded through the work I was able to offer in the commune.
I'd love to hear more, and if you can expand on how living with Osho and community of meditators and sannyasins in a Buddha field, how that changed the way you work. That you mentioned that basically you learned something at school, at university in the USA, and then living in Pune 2, kind of the therapy evolved in a different way. So if you can expand on that.
Well, you know, already when I was introduced to craniosacral work, it felt like my search for my calling on the work level is over. I was looking, you know, training in psychotherapy, training in body work, training in leading people in meditation camps and all. So I had these different aspects of body work and psychotherapy, where it was more about the mind and emotional trauma at that time, you know, childhood stuff that we would then work with. and the meditation that came in, but almost like in separate aspects of me. And when I learned craniosacral work, it felt like here is where everything comes together. But I didn't quite know at the beginning how to bring that into training or into how to pass that on to people. And the teaching I received through sannyasins, through colleagues that were sannyasins, through the living together in the commune at the time in Pune too, it was a small gathering of people that would live there and others would come and go. But we that lived there over a long period of time, we really had time to explore things together, to experiment, to give sessions to each other, to feedback, to learn from each other. And it was the first time I realized, and I have that session in front of me like it was yesterday, a really dear friend that took a session from me. And often craniosacral work, it is about listening to inner movements and rhythms that then get more regular, that bring more order to the whole body systems, to the mental, emotional, physical body. In that session, something magical happened that we together, my friend and me together, we were taken into a bigger space of stillness that felt deeper and more profound and at the same time wider and higher and just more than I've ever experienced before in any meditation, in any sitting with myself. And it was a gift of existence, a gift that was given to both of us. And craniosacral, it's actually, there's a term for it. It's called dynamic stillness. Except at that time, nobody talked about that. It was like a hidden knowledge that was kept in a small circle of osteopaths that didn't want that knowledge to pass on to people that didn't have that osteopathic background. So I discovered something through serendipity of existence, that there is a deeper space in that craniosacral work that we can reach with each other when the time is right. I was blown away. And my partner, my friend, partner as a client, was blown away. And we looked at each other. We finished the session. We said, this is something to teach. You need to find out what that is and teach that to us, because this is absolutely amazing. I want more of that. And in a way, that was the beginning of my career as a teacher, because then I was invited to teach craniosacral in Pune, and then people got to know it, and then I was invited to teach it in different countries, different continents. And that was so early on in my life and career, but I still love it every single day that I'm doing it today. Now, I love my work just because of moments like that, when we connect so deep with the intelligence and the wisdom that goes beyond the personality and beyond, the smallness of the ego state of a person.
I really like this image of you with sannyasins and colleagues experimenting, and that freedom of playing with these different methods and techniques and then creating something new and having new understandings. I really like that. So if you were to condense in a sentence or two what you have learned from Osho that helps you in the work you do today, what would that be?
Love. Now, that's a word that's used a lot, and I don't know if I can put it in one sentence or two. The love for humanness, the love for the human being, the love for myself and my fellow traveler on the path, the love for my students, for the work. All these different aspects of love that run through our life to support us in becoming more than what we think we are. When I think of Osho, that's the first thing that comes. And there is much more, of course.
Now I'd like to share something personal, my personal experience with craniosacral, which was quite underwhelming. Approximately 5 years ago, I got really interested in craniosacral and I got myself some books, as I normally do. I want to learn everything, and then I decided to give it a go. So perhaps I did not find the right therapist, but unfortunately I couldn't find any sannyasin therapist doing craniosacral in London. So what would you say is the secret for a successful session, and what type of issues are best treated by craniosacral therapy?
Well, one thing is that, well, yes, the therapist needs to be well trained, and there are so many schools that are training people. I would always want to know where the person received his training, because then I would know what orientation of craniosacral work they're actually practicing. So if it's a school that's very much oriented to the biomechanics of the body, then it might feel like, that happened to me too. I lie on the massage table and I feel something is being done to me, which can be beneficial, and I feel maybe better after it, you know. But that feeling of somebody is doing something to me also leaves a little bit of dissatisfaction. So what I would need in a craniosacral session is that a feeling that things are arising from within me, so that as a sense of strength or life or light or space is actually arising from within, through the presence of a therapist that's holding and accompanying me in that process, not as a doer, more like a space holder with the right orientation, and somebody that can cooperate with the forces of nature that are at work inside me as a client. So the benefit of the work depends very much also on the relationship and the relational field a therapist is able to hold for the client. So if I'm noticing somebody comes with a lot of body issue, that we create enough space that body can start to melt a little bit and come out of pain and tension pattern. But if somebody comes with a lot of emotional pain and maybe experiences some loss and grief, I'm orienting slightly different in order to be able to hold a space of suffering that can start to dissolve.
You mentioned that you do training. In 1986, you founded a school, International mm-hmm. Institute for Craniosacral Balancing, which offers training for therapists who then want to become accredited for practicing craniosacral therapy. So yeah, maybe you want to talk a little bit more about your school and what are your latest projects, and how your school differs and your training differs from other methods.
Well, one thing I want to say is that I've always been a teacher at heart, so I love to teach. And when I learned the work, it was kind of, you know, 4-day trainings, kind of small little bits and pieces that I needed to put together for myself in order to get really good. And it always felt like, well, something more is needed. And that something more, I really had a chance to then develop in Pune. But I did offer the same small training segments since even, you know, before 86. And it was just like weekends, 4-day workshops. And the development into the school that we have now took, well, maybe 10 years that we had then a 2-year training with 4 or 5 big segments that people needed to come back to study and then practice in between. And it was during that time, so it would be mid-90, that other craniosacral teachers and schools started to arise, and often using my model that I developed at that time as a base, you know, saying, oh, this craniosacral is not just a 4-day training here and there or a weekend training. It's actually a longer thing. And the base that we created at the time of having several weeks divided over several years, that's still the model that we are using today. Except today, it is, especially here in Switzerland, we are an accredited school, and that means our trainings are having the standard on a level that the state is then making an additional exam for our people after some 2 or 3 year practice, where they are making a state diploma. So the school and the work craniosacral here in Switzerland has that kind of standard with to upgrade our training into a 3-year training with about 2,500 hours. And it became a real professional training.
So where people can find you if they want to know more about your activities and your training and programs?
Well, we have a webpage. Should I give my webpage now?
Yeah, feel free. And I'll link your webpage into the show notes as well.
We have a webpage where you see our programs, www.icsb.ch. You asked me about how the work develops. The continuous education programs that we make has a lot to do with working with beginnings and endings, so working with babies and families and working with dying people in their transition out of life. So that's our kind of, at the moment, that's where most energy goes into to develop these programs for therapists that are already fully trained to actually add skills for these specific situations in life. So transition times, challenging times.
We are heading towards the end of the episode, and I've got 3 final questions for you. So the first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
My morning routine. Oh, that's an interesting question. Okay, I get up. I take care of my body. I make whatever exercises are needed at that moment for my aging body to feel still lubricated and alive. I have some breakfast and I go to class. I'm actually teaching almost every day in my life, and that's usually where I end up. I start class with a movement routine, with some body work where our body wakes up. So I have it good. I can do what I need with my class, and the class together, we do something for our body that does us good. So that's part of my morning routine, really, is to step up in front of a class and say, okay, let's get a partner. Let's practice this. Let's do this. And we do exercises with the body that are not craniosacral related, that are active, that are movement exercises, that are yoga exercises, that are voice exercises. So I'm often spending my first hour on my own, and then the second hour I'm already in class.
The second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
My favorite meditation is sitting silently and still. Even though I love the music meditations, you know, the active meditations, and I did them for years and years, right now in my life where I'm at, to just tune out all the external stimuli, all the sounds, all the input, all the noise of the world, and just be silent and sit and quiet my mind, my body, my, you know, the processes I'm in all day long. For me, that's heaven.
The last question is, you live the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
Well, Zorba the Buddha is really that's a great headline still today. For me, is to bring the work and myself with everything I've learned, I've gathered, I've experienced, and I've experimented, and I've accumulated this life experience, to bring that to the marketplace as genuine and as authentic as I can. As a person that has lived, having had a lot of more of my life with Osho and sannyasins and communes than not, I bring this to the marketplace. But the thing is, and that's really, thank you for that question, it is really what I do on a daily basis. You know, Buddha is bringing that contemplative aspect of our work to people that have never meditated before, that have never heard of Osho before, that are not caring about anything spiritual, and yet they learn to sit and listen, and something opens up in their being that they would not open up to if I would go out and talk about spirituality. So that's one way I see how the work that I'm doing brings that quality to people that look for a profession or they look for a skill, and then they get much more, that they get actually enriched. They find their own Buddha. And at the same time, the Zorba is to be active in the world and to be able to interface, you know, like with doctors and health insurances and the system in a way that there is also joy and exuberance and life, aliveness in what we do, so that there is not a ascetic kind of monk in the cave kind of attitude, but that balance between the inner and the outer. That's what I found in what Osho is teaching, and that's what I found in my work, and that's what I do on a daily basis, that balance between these two polarities.
Well, thank you so much. So that's the end of the show. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you, capturing your story and learning about craniosacral from you. And I'll send you lots of love. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to me and inspiring me.
Likewise. And I hope our listeners as well will get inspired by this chat.
Much love. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.